"What was that?" Drask asked abruptly. "Did you hear something?" Across the car, Mara closed down her lightsaber. Luke stretched out with the Force, straining to hear. There was the sound of a door closing. One of the repulsor lift generators seemed to change pitch subtly. "One of the turbo lift cars is moving," Mara said. "Down, I think."
"Which one?" Drask demanded. "Can you tell which one?"
Luke frowned with concentration.
"I don't know," he said.
"Mara?" "I think Jinsler's aboard," she said, shaking her head slowly. "I can't get anything else."
"We must get out of here," Drask said. "Aristocrat Chafor Bintrano may be in grave danger."
"We're working as fast as we can," Luke pointed out.
"Mara, working as fast as I can," she reminded him, scratching the tip of her lightsaber blade gently across the metal.
And then, all at once, the square of metal popped out of the wall.
"Okay," Mara said, closing down her lightsaber and stepping aside.
"Your turn."
"Right."
Stepping to the spot Mara had just vacated, Luke ignited his lightsaber. Stretching out to the Force, he eased the tip of the blade between the crisscrossing of wires behind the wall. Just above the lightsaber blade, a bright red wire stretched horizontally across the opening. Preparing his mind, he twitched the blade toward it. Not close enough to actually touch it, of course, but close enough to activate the short-range prescience that gave the Jedi what appeared to be super-fast reflexes. And for that single brief instant, he could feel a sudden pressure against the soles of his feet. "Red wire powers the upper repulsor," he announced, closing down the lightsaber and stepping back.
"Right," Mara said.
"One to go." Luke nodded and turned around toward the first opening she'd made in the wall. Choosing a blue wire this time, he ignited his lightsaber and again twitched the tip of the blade toward it. Nothing. He tried again with a green wire, then a red wire, then another blue wire, with similarly negative results. Then finally, he waved the blade toward a black-striped white wire and felt a brief sensation of the floor dropping out from under his feet.
"There," he told Mara, backing away. "Black-striped white."
"Got it," she confirmed.
"Okay. We ready?"
"Ready as we'll ever be." Luke agreed, getting into position again, facing the black-striped white wire. Mara stepped behind him, pressing her back to his as she faced the other side and the red wire he'd identified.
"Just a moment," Drask said. "What exactly do you plan here?"
"It should be clear enough, General," Mara said. "We're going to cut the power lines."
"But,"
Drask broke off.
"You really can do this?"
"Trust us," she said. Her hair resettled again as she turned back to her target, and with a snap hiss, she ignited her lightsaber. And with a sensation Luke still found astonishing, he felt her mind flow into, around, and through his. For that exquisitely stretched out moment in time, they were truly a single mind, a single spirit, poured into two separate bodies. They thought as one, they felt as one, they moved as one. And their lightsabers struck as one, each of the two glowing blades slashing through its targeted power cable in perfect synchronization. There was a slight jerk, more imagined than truly felt. And with a decided feeling of anticlimax, the turbo lift car began to sink downward.
"There," Mara said.
"See? No problem."
"What do you mean, no problem?" Drask bit out. "We are falling!"
"Don't worry," Mara said. "Now that we're traveling at a normal speed, there are built-in safeties to catch us at the other end." The problem was that Presser's repulsors would have slammed us down too fast for them to trigger. There was a gentle jolt from above, as if the car had momentarily shivered. "What was that?" Luke asked.
"We have changed direction," Drask said,
cocking his head oddly to the side.
"We are now traveling more vertically than before."
"How do you know?" Luke asked.
"I simply know," the Chiss said. "I cannot explain. It simply is."
"All right. Fine." The last thing Luke wanted right now was something else to argue about. But in that case, where are we going?
"Perhaps Guardian Presser enjoys layering his traps," Drask said.
"I don't know," Mara said. "Seems a little like overkill." "Luke, do you remember what this setup looked like from the outside? There were a pair of curved tubes leading off the main one, right?"
"Right," Luke confirmed.
"They looked like they were heading toward each other when they disappeared into the hill. One coming off each side of the tube," Mara added. "Like they were branch routes you could take from either of the two dreadnoughts."
branch routes heading to the central supply core, Luke said. Of course, the SC button on the control panel. Right, Mara agreed. That must be where we're going. The words were barely out of her mouth when the car abruptly jerked again and the floor seemed to drop gently out from under them.
We are turning over,
Drast said, again doing that head-cocking thing. Must be lining up with the storage core's gravity direction, Luke said.
Is that good?
Definitely, Luke assured him. Shipboard gravity is usually tied in with the rest of the environmental system. If the gravity is working, chances are the core's got air and heat, too. A few seconds later, the car settled to a stop, and the door slid open to reveal a large, musty-smelling cavern. Luke stepped out of the car, lightsaber ready in his hand. The room stretching out in front of him was only dimly lit, with perhaps a third of the permlight emergency panel still operating. The nearest true bulkhead was 10 meters away toward the forward end of the core, with another bulkhead 20 meters in the other direction toward the rear. The space right in front of the turbo lift was reasonably open, but the rest of the room had been partitioned by a grid of floor-to-ceiling meshwork panels dividing the floor space into 3-meter by 3-meter sections. A few of the sections had been partially or completely emptied, but most still held stacks of crates. Haven't made much of a dent, have they? Luke commented, as the others stepped out to join him. Let's head aft and see what else is back. He broke off as the comm link at his waist emitted an odd chirping noise. He pulled it from his belt, peripherally aware that Mara and Drask were doing the same with theirs, and clicked it on. A burst of static crackled at him, and he quickly shut it off again. That's strange, he said, frowning at it. It sounded like something was coming through just then. Same here, Mara said. Yours too, General?
Yes, Drask said. It was as if someone had used a... I do not know the proper word in your language, the Chiss said. It is a signal that stretches across all parts of the communications range in an attempt to penetrate jamming.
Some kind of full spectrum burst, Mara said, nodding. Do Chiss comlinks have that capability? Luke asked Drask. The other hesitated.
Certain of them do, he said. Those I equipped our party with do not.
Let's put it a different way, Mara said. Are there any of these more sophisticated comlinks aboard the Chaff Envoy? Drask looked away.
There are, he conceded.
Mara looked back at Luke. Terrific, she said. So someone's able to communicate with the ship. Only that someone isn't us.